Hello, and welcome to episode 14 of The Winning Agenda. Tonight, our panellists include runner-up for both the 2014 Melbourne Regionals and the 2014 Australian Nationals, Liam Prasad.
Also, My Little Pony extraordinaire.
Two-time store champion and three-time Magic the Gathering Pro Tour competitor, Wilfie Horrig.
Yeah, I hope everyone's doing well today.
2014 Australian National Champion and 2014 World's Top 16 competitor, Jesse Marshall.
I'm here to expand my horizons, Brian.
UK National Champion and World's Top 8 competitor, Dave Hoyland.
Hey, guys.
And I'm your host, Brian Holland, 2014 Australian Nationals Top 8 competitor. Tonight is part 2 of our Order and Chaos card highlight. Tonight we'll be focusing on the corporation side. The first card we're going to be talking about is the first of the three agendas in this cycle. The first card is Argus Security, Protection Guaranteed. It's an identity, Corp, Deck 45, Influence 15. Whenever the runner steals an agenda, he or she must either take one tag or suffer two meat damage. Jesse, what do you think?
It's a powerful effect for sure, presenting the runner with a quandary whenever they are looking at stealing an agenda is a powerful thing, saying to them that they have to take quite a significant drawback. A tag or two meat damage can both be crippling when you're playing against Wayland, particularly if you're forced as the runner to make that run and steal that agenda towards the end of your turn because the Corp deck is putting resource pressure on you. Then that can be the difference between you surviving their attempt to flatline you or dying. There definitely seems to be the potential for a deck using this identity to try and force the runner into some really unsavory situations where they have to make decisions that they could lose either way. Lose if they access and take one of these quite significant negative repercussions, or lose if they don't access and you manage to score out. There's some balance to be found there. You don't want to be playing too many one-point agendas because then that threat of scoring out becomes so much more difficult and so much more remote. But I think that balance potentially could be found, and there could be quite a powerful deck there.
So I think it's worth noting that this ID has a lot of synergy with cards which are already out but actually see less play at the moment, such as Vulcan Cover-Up. You know, so I think it's going to be really good for kind of, you know, bringing in new, existing cards into the meta which don't get much play. I'm excited to see if there's a kind of a Cambridge PE style deck, kind of kill deck, available in this identity. So I think this will be a fun deck to kind of test out and play with and against.
No, I don't think so. Jinteki still has the capacity there to not just threaten the damage back with like Scorched, but obviously with their Ronins, which honestly has, in my opinion, a much lower barrier to get off, especially if you're playing Biotics. Whereas if the runner is choosing to take two meat damage every time and then draw back up and they're refusing to pass turn with a tag, you're still going to need to play the traditional Seesaw Scorch suite, which is honestly just as difficult in this as it would be in any other deck.
The next card is Gagarin Deep Space, Expanding the Horizon, Identity Corp, Deck 45, Influence 15. As an additional cost to access a card on a remote server, the runner must pay one credit. What do you think, Dave?
I think this is actually my favourite ID for Wayland in this pack. I don't think it will be amazing straight out of Order and Chaos. I think it needs maybe a few more support cards, but the ability is really strong. Wayland probably needs a few more economy assets to kind of work with this, because you don't really want to be importing them. There's a style of deck that I'm really interested to try, which is something like, so you play reversed accounts down in the open, the runner can pay an extra credit to access it, so it's going to cost them four effectively to trash it, and if they don't, then you can advance, and click to trash, and the runner loses eight credits. So there's the option of playing kind of a lot of kind of economy and, you know, denial and like a real taxing deck with this. So yeah, I think it's going to be a fun one.
The next ID is Titan Transnational, Investing in Your Future, Identity Corp, Deck 45, Influence 17. Whenever you score an agenda, you may place one agenda counter on it. Jesse, are you excited for this one?
Project Atlas is the best agenda in Wayland, and this gives you a very significant benefit for just scoring it as a 3-2, which makes the card even more powerful than it already is. Whether that's enough to make this a playable identity, I'm not sure. Blue Sun certainly gives you a lot of flexibility across your whole deck, whereas this really just seems, at the moment, with the current card pool, to make your best agenda even better. And I'm not sure whether that's really where you want your identity ability to be. There have been people who've been talking about playing Sansan City grids and trying to chain your atlases through them, because you gain the ability, once you score one atlas through the Sansan, it has a counter. Then on your next turn, if they haven't trashed your Sansan, you can tutor for another atlas without spending a click, and then score the second atlas, which will also have a counter. So you're setting up a train or a chain of agenda scores, which are arguably on a similar power level to Astro Scripts, though probably not even nearly as good. Dave, I think you'd thought about that deck a bit, and you had something to say about it?
Yeah, I really dislike the idea of kind of Wayland Fast Advance. So my problems with it are that you only have Atlas as your 3-2. And the problem there is, what happens if the runner scores one? As soon as the runner scores one of those Atlases, you suddenly lose the ability to kind of score all three Atlases and a hostile takeover to get to your 7 points. It also relies on the fact that, you know, the runner doesn't get rid of your Sansan City grid. There's just too many problems with it. I don't think the ID's bad. I just don't think the Wayland has any of the tools for fast advance, even with 17 influence. I don't think it's the right style of deck for them. At the moment, anyway. It could obviously change.
The next card is one of the agendas that's getting quite a lot of attention online at the moment. It's Government Takeover. It's an agenda. Advance 9. Points 6. It has click, gain 3 credits, and limit one government takeover per deck. Wilfie, will you be playing this one?
This card's really interesting because it's the first agenda we've seen with more than 3 points. Whether that's a good thing or not remains to be seen. I think, in general, 9 is too much to score, and definitely too much to score reliably. But where this could be useful is if you want to decrease the number of agendas in your deck, you can play this to replace 2 3-pointers, which is pretty significant if you have, say, 7 or 8 3-pointers as your only agendas. While that's not, at the moment, been super pushed, the idea of not playing to score agendas to win or only playing to score 3-pointers, if there is a deck that wants to legitimately minimize the number of agendas it has, then this can be a tool in the deck. But I think that it's inherently high risk because of how difficult it is to score. A 5-for-3, you can possibly score it, whereas this, while we've heard reports of Beals going up to 5, 6, 7 points, I don't think that this is realistic to score. And I think that its use will be really confined because of that.
I just think it's very funny that it has an ability suggesting that you didn't already win after scoring this.
The next agenda we're going to talk about is High Risk Investment. It's an agenda expansion. Advance cost 5, points 3. Place one agenda counter on high risk investment when you score it. It has click, hosted agenda counter. Gain 1 credit for each credit in the runner's credit pool. Jesse, you're pretty psyched for this one?
I'm so excited about this card. This delivers you a massive benefit to a Scorched Earth flatline game plan from scoring a 5-for-3. If you're doing what you should be doing with a Scorched Earth deck, which is trying to put scoring pressure on them by trying to score agendas early and keeping the threat of Scorched Earth up, this gives you an enormous benefit and almost guarantees that you're going to be able to flatline the runner at some point with Seesaw Scorched if they don't have a Plascrete. Once you've scored this, you're not going to have to worry about the economic side of that. When you use your click and the hosted agenda counter, the difference between the runner's credit pool and your credit pool will become your current credit pool. So if you get up to 20 credits and the runner's also sitting back and gaining credits and they've got up to 20 credits, in one click, you can open a 20 credit gap on the runner, which is just a massive thing to be able to do. So I think this is a really powerful agenda, and I'm really looking forward to scoring a few of these and trying to kill some people.
I have a question for you, Jesse, though. The two ways of dealing with kind of the Scorched Earth threat is Plascrete Carapace and a better economy. So this card deals with runners who sit back and take money. The other option you've got is the cleaners, which helps deal with Plascrete Carapace. I'd kind of argue that Wayland are already really good at making lots of money. What do you think to the idea that actually it's better to have a scored cleaners because that's more likely to help your flatline win condition?
I think that one of the problems with scoring a 5-for-3 and then trying to keep live the threat of Scorched Earth is almost always going to be the economy, because if you create a server and you spend your resources resing the ice and spending the 5 clicks and credits to score the 5 for 3, you're almost certainly depleting your resources more than the runner's depleting theirs if you keep them out. At that point, it can be very hard for you to recover the credit lead again to the extent you need to threaten the flatline kill whilst continuing to protect your servers. I certainly find that you often have to make the call with the Wayland deck in the mid game as to whether you're really going to invest in that agenda and go the scoring route, at which point you're almost giving up on Scorched Earth economically, and this allows you to not have to do that. Certainly it doesn't get around Plazcrete in the way that the cleaner does, but if you're going to, I guess, think that 90% of the time after you score the 5 for 3, you're going to struggle to recover the credit lead you need, this will fix that 90%. The cleaners will fix whatever percentage of time the runners will have a Plazcrete, which I think is going to be lower than 90, and it only does that where you can regain that credit lead, so this is going to fix the more common issue.
I think you're probably right, in all honesty, and I also think that you're not taking into consideration that Wayland does have some other tools to deal with Plazcrete Carapace, such as Shattered Remains, Taurus, etc. So, yeah, I think this is probably a very good 5 for 3 in a flatline deck.
The next card we're going to talk about tonight is The Board. It's an asset, executive, res 3, trash 7, influence 5. Each agenda in the runner's score area is worth one fewer agenda point. If the board is trashed while being accessed, add it to the runner's score area as an agenda worth 2 points. Wilfie, do you like this card?
I'm not really a fan of this card. I think that all of the executives that give your opponent extra agenda points when they trash them have the same drawback that corp decks in this format aren't really set up to increase their agenda density, and especially not increasing their agenda density by doing something which isn't scoring, directly helping them score agendas. And so this is where the board falls flat compared to the other two, in that the other two actually create some pressure on the opponent that lets you score agendas, even if they do have a large drawback, whereas this just prolongs the game, which is so counterintuitive to the drawback, which is that, you know, as soon as they score it, you fall so far behind, they get such a huge agenda point lead, that prolonging the game as a benefit while the drawback is so bad in a longer game is, I think, just makes this card not playable.
Director Haas, you can leverage, as you said, to give yourself a points benefit whilst it's live. This doesn't actually help you get points. It seems abysmal.
The next thing we're going to talk about is a group of ice, which we're referring to as the Celestial Ice. The first card is Asteroid Belt. It's an ice, barrier, res 9, strength 6, influence 2. Asteroid Belt can be advanced, and its res cost is lowered by 3 for each advancement token on it, and it has the subroutine End the Run. The next ice is Wormhole. It's a code gate, res 9, strength 7, influence 2. Wormhole can be advanced, and its res cost is lowered by 3 for each advancement token on it. Its subroutine is Resolve a Subroutine on another piece of resed ice. The next card is Nebula, Sentry, Destroyer, res 9, strength 5, influence 2. Nebula can be advanced, and its res cost is lowered by 3 for each advancement token on it. Trash 1 program. And the last card is Orion. It's an ice, sentry, code gate, barrier, res 15, strength 8, influence 3. Orion can be advanced, and its res cost is lowered by 3 for each advancement token on it. Trash 1 program. Resolve a subroutine on another piece of ice, and End the Run. Dave, are you excited for these ice?
These ice have some potential because they're really, you know, most of them have a really high strength. In the right deck, which is advancing its ice quite a lot, there's the potential for these to be resed quite cheaply, you know, at kind of 0-3 credits. And when you're looking at strength 6 or 7, you know, that's really workable. I think that it's probably worth testing when they come out, these ice in combination with some really cheap kind of early end the run ice, you know, Enigmas and Ice Walls, etc., so that you can stop the runner, kind of gear check them, force them to go and get their breakers, whilst you get this ice out and you advance it a couple of times. And then, you know, cards like Shipment from Kaguya, using those in combination, or kind of some of the other cards in this set, such as Satellite Grid. I think that, you know, you could have some really strong, cheap ice, so I think it's worth testing.
I'm not sure I would ever want to play this ice and just advance it naturally, because the thing is, raising at 9 for these abilities is already quite inefficient compared to just some other ice. And when you do advance this one of these ice, it's one click and one credit as part of the advancement. So the opportunity cost for that click is at least a credit or a card. So by advancing, a lot of the time you're really only gaining a credit virtually, and that's on ice that was already quite inefficient. So I certainly wouldn't want to play these without a way to advance them, like Shipment from Kagoya, as David mentioned. I am actually really looking forward to testing these with some very underplayed cards, like maybe Matrix Analyzer from the core set in NBN. NBN has a what I feel is certainly a hole in its mid-range ice. With some of the tagging ice like Matrix Analyzer, this could help quite a lot.
The other thing that's probably worth mentioning is that Constellation Protocol, an asset in this set, allows you to move advancement tokens from installed ice to other ice. It's cost 0 to res, 4 to trash. If you played Constellation Protocol in Gagarin Deep Space, the idea that they have to pay an extra 1 to access cards and remote servers, it becomes 5 to trash, which is quite a significant investment for a runner, and more often than not you'll likely see a Constellation Protocol hanging around. That makes your Shipment from Kaguya's and even your natural advancements even more efficient on these cards, so it's very possible that these could become reasonably efficient way to, as Dave said, provide a mid-range answer for Wayland. The one thing I would say about them is that their subroutines aren't amazing. End the Run and Trash One program on Nebula and Asteroid Belt aren't exactly game-breaking for the amount of investment you have to put into them to get them rezzed, let alone see them fire. Wormhole, I don't generally like ice that doesn't do anything on its own, but considering that you've got Icewall in faction and you can play things like Quandary and other small ice that end the run, at the very least, it's most of the time going to be an end the run, which is okay, and the flexibility to be something bigger does provide some food for thought. But again, I'm not convinced that the subroutines are necessarily good enough for these to see play, but we'll see.
While we usually consider Ice Wall as a very cheap, very immediate in the run ice, in this style of strategy, once you have rezzed your Asteroid Belt, your Wormhole, and your Nebula, you will actually get a chance to move those advancement counters with the Constellation Protocol over to that Ice Wall, giving you a bit of kind of late game reach with that ice wall and helping you create more taxing central servers, especially in combination with Builder. Just a server with ice wall and Builder would gradually be very difficult to get through.
The next card is another piece of ice. It's Firewall. Barrier, res 5, strength 5, influence 2. Firewall can be advanced and gains plus 1 strength for each advancement token on it. End the run. Dave, are you a fan?
Yeah, very much so. I think this is the piece of ice Wayland needed for a little while, really. It's got some really key things. It's advanceable, which is great, and actually just advancing it a couple of times, especially with the combination of the other cards in the set, that's really strong. Also, it's strength 5. There's a lot of really powerful strength 4 ice in the game at the moment, so this not being strength 4 is also really good. Yeah, I'm quite a big fan.
The next piece of ice is Searchlight. It's a sentry, res 1, strength 3, influence 1. Searchlight can be advanced. X is the number of advancement tokens on Searchlight. Trace X. If successful, give the runner 1 tag. Trace X. If successful, give the runner 1 tag. Jesse, what do you think?
Early in the game, it doesn't really do a lot, which is its downfall. The fact that the traces are very likely to start at 0 means that you're going to have to bid before them on the traces to even put probably any threat into them, at which point you have to be relying on them running without a sentry breaker and running on their third or last click in order for the tag or tags that you give them to remain until your turn. So whilst it is good and it in some ways compares favorably to Shadow in that it has two subroutines and both of them are threatening the runner with a tag, the fact that the traces start at 0 is definitely a downside. So I'm not entirely sure about this card, but it has the potential to play into a Scorched Earth strategy quite well, but the fact that traces start at 0 I think is definitely a downside.
The next card we're talking about is Cyberdex Virus Suite. It's an upgrade, Ambush, Res 3, Trash 1, Influence 0. If the runner accesses Cyberdex Virus Suite from R&D, reveal it. When the runner accesses Cyberdex Virus Suite, you may purge virus counters. And it has Trash, Purge Virus Counters. Liam, what do you think?
Oh yeah. In my opinion, this card is going to be very, very important coming into the future of Netrunner. Firstly, just being able to purge without necessarily spending your entire turn, I think, is a great ability. And I have taken the opportunities to play a Cyberdex trial where I've had the free slot in Corp decks, which honestly doesn't happen very, very often. But being able to slip in something like a Cyberdex Virus Suite that is good both when you draw it and when you don't draw it, clearly purging, which is getting to be a stronger and stronger ability with the proliferation of medium and the popularity of Darthasucker and just the threat of constant parasites, purging is getting more and more important. And so I'm going to be quite unlikely to not include at least one copy in most of my Corp decks.
I think that the fact that this card can purge at instant speed might be more important than the fact that it fires from R&D. Not because firing from R&D isn't strong, it's a very strong ability, but just that it means that it gives the Corp access to some effects that it might not normally have, such as the ability to beat instant speed parasites or instant speed clots, which might be a factor in the future. More generally, weaken the power of especially Darthasucker and Parasite, which are probably at the moment the two best Anarch cards from Ice, especially which can't be broken by Mimic or Yogg. I'm especially thinking that you can play it as a remote and it might be in Wayland or other factions with strong destroyers like Archer, you can definitely surprise them with that ability. I think that's really strong.
Being able to install this in a remote behind an Archer where you think they're going to run because they'll think it's an agenda and they're relying on Darthasucker Mimic to break that Archer can be a really huge blowout because they can't jack out before they encounter it.
And just on top of what you guys both mentioned, it's actually an upgrade as well. So you can have it in a server with an agenda and use that Archer to just protect and wreck.
And the last card we're going to be talking about from Order and Chaos is Traffic Accident. Operation Black Ops. Cost 0, influence 1. Play only if the runner has at least 2 tags. Do 2 meat damage. Jesse, do you think this will find a space in your deck?
This could fit in to a Wayland build that splashes for mid-season replacements. Mid-season is obviously the easiest way to get bulk tags onto a runner. In that sort of deck, it could allow you to access some additional meat damage where you want to try and bait them to use their Plascrete counters so that you can then scorch them. The fact that this costs 0 means that it's not too much of an economic disadvantage. However, it does take up deck space, it does take up hand space to keep them there. So those are both drawbacks. I'm not 100% convinced that this is viable in that strategy, but giving Wayland having another card that deals meat damage to try and deal with the meat damage protection that the runner's playing could be a powerful thing and could allow those sorts of decks more space in the metagame. The other way that it could be good is in Argus Security Protection Guaranteed, the identity we discussed at the beginning, where you can punish the runner for floating the tags, not only with Scorched Earth, but again, having a higher number of cards in your deck that deal meat damage, meaning it's more likely that you're able to punish them for floating tags at more points in the game. Whether that's good enough remains to be seen. Argus is very difficult to evaluate because it does things so differently to any other Corp identity that we've seen, but I think that's definitely worth playtesting.
I just want to point out that that's actually only costing 1 influence to splash Traffic Accident into your deck. So I could also see Traffic Accident filling in a few suites there where people play 1 or 2 Scorched, but then restricted from their third because of their influence. Now they can play 1, 2 Scorched and a Traffic Accident, and then the Scorched and a Traffic Accident will actually deal 6 damage. So that's enough to kill most runners. So you kind of save 3 influence there by playing 1 Traffic Accident rather than a third Scorched, which to me seems quite good.
That concludes our 2-part Order and Chaos card highlight. If you'd like to let us know what you think of the episode, please do so via our Twitter account, @WinningAgenda. On Facebook, our like page is The Winning Agenda, or you can shoot us an email at thewinningagenda@gmail.com. We'd also like to announce that the deck building competition has concluded. We will be sleeving up some of our favorites and giving them a test in the next couple of weeks, and we should have a winner announced for you along with some finalists in the next fortnight. We'd also like to thank Dave Hoyland very much for being with us for the last few episodes. So you can follow everything Dave has to say on Twitter @Cerberus_ D. We'll be back next Monday as usual, and we'd just like to wish everybody around the world who listens to us a very happy and prosperous 2015. Until then, see you guys.
It's been an honor, guys. Cheers.
Woo!